You're Locked On Senators, your daily podcast on the Ottawa Senators. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm Tim Stützle, and you're listening to the Locked On Senators podcast.
Welcome inside episode 269 of the Locked On Senators podcast. I'm Ross Levitt, and in the heart of enemy territory, downtown Toronto, alongside Brandon Piller up in Collingwood. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Well, we've got a real nice episode coming up today. Not only are the Ottawa Senators back in action concluding their road trip out west, but the Nodak Sens begin a single elimination NCHC tournament, and they're doing it as the number one seed. We're going to have a full preview. They're at the Ralph, where the Nodak Sens are 26-2 in their last 28 games. So stay tuned for that. But as we mentioned, full Sens preview in Edmonton tonight. We have a couple lineup notes. We did not know the extent of two scary-looking injuries to Ryan Dzingel. Colin White will give you the updates that DJ Smith shared with us yesterday. We also have a ton of fun segments. Ridly Gregg back in action in the WHL. And which edition of the Ottawa Senators did you most fall in love with? We'll get Pilsy's take on that and more. This is the Locked On Senators podcast, your team every day. Today is Friday, March 12th, and Pilsy, the Ottawa Senators entering tonight's play with a 9-19-1 record, 0-6 against Edmonton, and it looks like DJ Smith will be changing up the lines. We mentioned yesterday, Christian Willanen needing an opportunity, and it looks like he'll get it tonight.
The lines have been changed quite a bit here, a couple due to injury with Ryan Dzingel and Colin White. Thankfully, doesn't seem like their injuries are as long-term as we had thought. So that's a big blessing. But yeah, the big move here is injury. There's no injury-related decision here, but Willanen has been brought in for Eric Brännström. And this is something we thought would happen soon because I feel like Brännström's kind of been up and down. Like he has a good game, then a bad game, a good game. And I don't think DJ Smith is fully sold on him yet. So I think it's good to get a little bit of a change up here, especially after the way the last game went. You had to change something up. So good on Christian Willanen. He's going to get one of those 19 games that the Senators will need him to get if they're going to keep him as a restricted free agent. So I'm stoked to see Wally back in the lineup here.
Yeah, we still have no confirmation. The Senators will hold an optional skate before Friday night's game, 9 o'clock Eastern. So another late one before the Senators return home. And once they return home, we might see a roster move here or there, but it looks like it'll just be members of the taxi squad filling in for the injured Colin White. He's already been ruled out. However, not as serious as initially thought. So great news on the Colin White front. Even if he has to miss a game or two, it looked real bad. So that's awesome. Ryan Dzingel, a game-time decision. And he didn't put any weight on that right leg as he left the ice in the third period on Wednesday. So another close call with injury. The guys replacing them at least as they skated yesterday. I'll run through all the lines. It was Tierney back between Tkachuk and Connor Brown, a line that had been together but was disassembled for the kid line in last game. However, I don't think DJ Smith liked much of what he saw in that 7-1 loss. Then you have Norris taking Colin White's spot between Paul and Dadonov. That's an interesting line. Then Anisimov, Stützle, Batherson, Pekka, Watson, and Clark Bishop. That's the first many have heard of him. He was acquired for Max Lajoie in the offseason, you thought, as an AHL piece, but looks like he might get a chance with the big club tonight. Michael Haley skating as the extra forward on defense. You already mentioned the one change. Willanen skating with Gabranson. The rest as it was. Riley Zub, Shabbat, Zaitsev. That's how they line up. Still no indication of who the starting goalie will be, but what are you most excited about tonight's game? How can Ottawa get a win against Edmonton? It's their seventh game, still looking for their first.
It's going to be hard, Ross, especially when you've got two of your, I wouldn't say the top six, but definitely top nine players in Colin White and Ryan Dzingel out. That's a big loss. And you're going to get a guy in Clark Bishop who what isn't really a big part of the AHL system, getting into an NHL game here. I think this is more of a placeholder move. I would say he's kind of similar to Beaudin last season, right? Like JC Beaudin was a guy that the Sens, they liked his game, but they're not heavily invested in. So if they got to bring him up, down, whatever, that's fine. I think a lot of fans probably would have wanted Formanton or Abramov or some of these other guys to get a chance. But if it's just for one or two games, depending on how long Ryan Dzingel's out, I don't think that really makes much sense, especially since they're on the road. Maybe if Colin White is out for like a week or two, then we see Formanton get a chance to get a good look at home. But until then, I think it's just me, Clark Bishop. And hey, you know what? Good for the kid. Let's see what he's got.
Yeah, well, another East Coast buy on the team, right? You've already got Drake Batherson, Josh Norris with the Newfoundland roots, although he is an American himself. Clark Bishop out from St. John's, Newfoundland. And he does have 25 NHL games under his belt with Carolina and has already scored his first NHL goal. So no milestone watch tonight. But hey, he's got 200-plus games of AHL experience. He wore an A in Charlotte last year. Bring some of that jam on the fourth line that DJ Smith, they didn't play enough of. Not a goon by any stretch of the imagination, but finishes every check. That's the kind of simple game you can expect from Clark Bishop. And frankly, he's a better option than Michael Haley at this point as well. So, hey, if he gets in the lineup, good for him. I can hope. I was going to say assure, but I'm going to say I can hope that when they get back to Ottawa, you can see a replacement. If they're still needing a player to replace White and or Ryan Dzingel, that it could be Alex Formanton. Even Logan Shaw has had a great start. The Belleville wouldn't mind seeing him get an opportunity as well. But
I don't think they're going to call Logan Shaw up, though. They just named him captain. Seems like a weird move to name your leader and then strip him away from the team. I think usually that's the thing with getting named captain of an AHL team. It is an honor, and you want to be a leader. It's a great look and great learning experience. But I think that kind of anchors you down in the AHL. Like, that's them telling you you're going to be here for the rest of the season.
Yeah, well, he joins the prestigious group of Eric Bergdorfer, Michael Blunden. Am I missing one there as well, or did Bergdorfer wear it for 2 years?
No, you're forgetting Swores.
Oh, of course. How dare I? The most recent captain before Logan Shaw. So, yeah, great point there. I just want to give a little stick tap. So maybe Igor gets the call up. Igor Sokolov, we say with a smile, his 5-game point streak ended last game, but really, it's not going to be Logan Brown. He has to get healthy and get in the lineup before he's going to get his shot, right? It was the 5-game tryout, basically. Well, he only played in 3 of them, and the first 2 were underwhelming. He got the assist, and then he's out of the lineup. The spin cycle continues of good play, injury, bad play, injury, good play. And, well, we hope for the best for Logan Brown that he can come out of it, but I doubt we're going to see him soon. But, hey, it's Clark Bishop's spot, it looks like, tonight. And good for the kid. We're going to be watching not only for that, but trying to keep Draisaitl and McDavid off the score sheet. It's easier said than done, but Draisaitl could tie the most points in a single season against the Ottawa Senators with 1 tonight. And they have 2 more games against Ottawa after this one. McDavid 3 points back of that mark set by Owen Nolan with the Quebec Nordiques in the 92-93 season. Certainly not any of the team that the Senators fans most fell in love with, that inaugural 92-93 season where they had 10 wins. But we're going to get to Pilsy's and mine, our favorite teams, that the storylines, the people, everything around, the memories, basically, looking back. But we'll save that for a bit later. Let's get to our Locked On player. Usually we do it at the end of the show, but we have a full NCHC pod preview. I keep calling it the pod. It's the playoff pod, but it's still a pod nonetheless. They're all gathered for a single elimination event in North Dakota at the Ralph. But let's stick to the NHL squad. Who are you locked on for tonight's game in Edmonton?
Well, Ross, since you threw it to me first, I'm going to take the easy, low-hanging fruit, and that's going to be Christian Willanen. Like, this guy,
I thought you were going to say Clark Bishop.
No, I don't think. Well, hey, I want to see what the kid's got at an NHL level, but that's
what number is he going to wear?
Yeah, that is interesting. I'm not sure what number they got on him, so we'll keep our eyes peeled for that. But I'm looking out for the swagger number of 2-4 on the ice, because it's been a while since he's had a chance, and this is a big opportunity for him. Like, he's going up against, like you said, the Edmonton Oilers, a team that the Sens have just been absolutely clobbered by night in and night out. So he's going to have a tough assignment. And, like, him and Branstrom are basically kind of game in, game out, playing for their jobs here. So every single game that one of these young defensemen gets, they have to make the most of it because they're on short leashes, both of them. Like even Brännström, who's got a longer look than Christian Wallanen, hasn't really had DJ's confidence. So both these guys need to be good. It's Wallanen's turn. I'm rooting for the guy, so I'm going to be locked on to him tonight.
I like that with Christian Wallanen. And I'm going to go up front with Evgeny Dadonov. He scored, yes, a complete garbage goal. It's a beautiful play. But when you're making it 6-1, they ultimately lose. Or no, it was to make it 7-1. It's 7-0. So complete garbage goal. However, goal scorers get streaky, sometimes starting with a garbage goal. So can Evgeny Dadonov get back to the flow that he had created in his own game? Can he get hot? He's got a new centerman in Josh Norris. You think that could help him?
Yeah, I think it'll help for sure. Not that I'm saying Josh Norris is an upgrade from Colin White, but he's certainly a guy that can produce offensively. Like, he's got 5 goals, 10 assists this season. And Evgeny Dadonov is really interesting. Like, him not being able to score on the power play is a big problem, or even get points on the power play. Like Ian Mendez mentioned in his article a little while ago, Derek Stepan has more power play points this season than Evgeny Dadonov. So that's really not good. But I also think maybe we're being a little bit too hard on him based on the expectations we had for him, right? You got to remember, this is a guy that's used to playing on a better team with better players, but he's tied for the team lead in goals with 9, which isn't incredible, but when you're at the top of your team, that's still decent. And he's shooting at a 15.3% shooting success. So, like, it hasn't been terrible. It's just been tough when you give a guy this big contract, he's a big goal scorer, he's supposed to be your guy, and he's a little bit streaky. So I'm not ready to kind of knock down Dadonov yet, but yeah, I'm going to be locked on him too to see if he can keep this goal streak going.
Yeah, we should mention he did score in the first game against Edmonton as well. So that's goals in back-to-back games. However, Pilsy, 9 goals is great, but 2 apples. You'd like to see him facilitating a little bit more, helping his teammates get on the score sheet as well.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Evgeny Dadonov certainly is not known as a disher, but you'd just think getting in the offensive mix that a shot that he takes on a rebound or something like that would turn into assists because, yeah, you're right. 2 assists on the year is not going to cut it.
Well, I mean, in Florida, he put up above 40 assists in his last full NHL season. He had 42 and 70 points, 37 in his first year back from the KHL. So
yeah,
everyone lauds his goal scoring, but he can set up plays as well.
Yeah, easy to get assists, though, when you just slide the puck over to Barkov.
Well, also secondary assists when Huberdeau does all the work as well.
Yeah.
But he is, and DJ Smith touted him. He's such a great bumper player on the power play. That's where more of his assists, I think, should be coming, especially just getting pucks on net and letting Brady score on the rebound, that sort of thing. So I'm going to be locked on Evgeny Dadonov, and I'll start with my lookout player, and it's Tyson Barrie, man. Talk about a return from the ashes of Toronto. Now, that media market tore him apart, and what's he do? He signs a 1-year ticket in Edmonton to up his value, similar to Taylor Hall, but unlike Taylor Hall, he's actually producing. He had 3 assists against Ottawa on Wednesday's game. He has 22 points in 28 games. That's the most he's had in the first 28 games of a season in his entire career. He's a plus player, which is, a return. He was a -7 on last year's Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, that takes talent or lack thereof. But he has bounced back. Everyone thought he was just going to be a power play guy, but 13 of his 22 points have come at even strength. So I'm watching out for him to be a guy to get the puck up to the McDavids and the Drysdales. And Ottawa needs to be hard on him physically when he's going back for pucks. Try to jump it, dump it in his corner, because he is the yin to Darnell Nurse's defensive yang. And you need to be strong on those defensemen and not allow them easy breakouts, or else Ottawa is going to be in trouble. So I'm looking out for Tyson Barrie tonight.
Yeah, that's a good one. And he's done some damage against the Sens. And I agree with you. On that pairing, the Sens need to be targeting Barrie when they're on the attack, because defensively, he is lacking much more than Darnell Nurse. But I wouldn't take away from Darnell Nurse either. It seems like every single time the Oilers play the Sens, he either gets an assist or a goal. So, like, he's been hot too. But that's not my lookout player. I'm going with Jesse Puljujarvi. I think this is a guy, what an interesting story for him, back and forth. The Oilers are going to trade him. They're not going to trade him. He's refusing to play. He's going to play. All these kinds of things. I really like his game. Like, he's a strong skater. That's a guy.
Big.
Yeah, big rear end. Like, he's a guy that can, like, shove a defenseman out of the way, just using his butt to push them away. That's the kind of guy you got to watch out for in the slot in front of the net. I think he's been a little bit cold lately, but I wouldn't be surprised if he starts heating up here.
Oh, yeah. He's a player I actually really enjoy watching. Sometimes he looks like Bambi out there. Like, he has trouble, like, you know, picking up speed through the neutral zone. But he's a guy, when he gets parked out front, he can make plays in tight with his passing ability as well. So, yeah, definitely looking out for those two guys. And I think the Sens are due for a win, though. I'm going to be betting on them at BetOnline, and you can too when you go and make your free account at betonline.ag. It's the one place that has you covered, the one place that we trust. We even trust it more than Pilsy's Parlay. We'll get to that. Yes, we know what happened yesterday. Pilsy will take full responsibility. This is an accountability podcast here, just like DJ Smith preaches for the Ottawa Senators. So go to betonline.ag, sign up for your free account, and when you do, because you're a listener of the Locked On Senators podcast, you are entitled to a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So after you sign up today at betonline.ag, use the promo code when you're making your first deposit, Locked On. And that way you get a 50% welcome bonus. Bingo, bango, bongo, $50 in your account when you put in 100, 100 when you put in 200, just like that. What are you going to use that free play for? It's Pilsy's Parlay of the Day.
Guys, I tried something a little crazy, four-team parlay for the first time. And it's funny, like, sports gambling is just wild. Like, of all those four teams, I threw one game in just because I thought it just to boost the odds a little bit. Like, that was the free card on my bingo card, was the Tampa Bay Lightning beating the Red Wings. But where I went wrong and where the parlays always seem to go wrong is when you get a little bit greedy. And they were the ones I had winning puck line. Detroit actually ended up beating them by two. And all three other teams in my parlay, Ross, hit puck line. So I was 3 for 4, except I missed the free bingo card. So that's tough. And you know what? I'm taking accountability for that. I should have known that the Detroit Red Wings were going to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. So that's on me. But we're moving forward here. I'm going to slow things down a little. Not four teams, not three teams, just two bets here. So let's start Minnesota Wild. I'm taking their money line up against the Arizona Coyotes at a minus 182. Kaprizov has been an absolute stud. The Coyotes are struggling. Minnesota Wild looks like a team that's actually fun to watch, which is weird to say about the Minnesota Wild. So that's a team I like. Now, anytime you see a 7-1 game, you got to go for the over the next game. I'm not sure what's going to happen in this Sens game, but with two of their better players injured, it's going to be tough. So I think the over is going to hit, not necessarily saying the Sens are going to lose, but there's going to be a lot of goals. So we're going to hit the over at 6.5 at minus 105 odds. Guys, that's it for the parlay. I'm not going to get too crazy. So put $10 in and you're going to win $20.25. One more time, that's Minnesota Wild money line and the over on the Sens game. That is Pilsy's parlay of the day.
Wow, if that over hits, that is a ton of action, and you do not want to be on the sideline. So when you go to betonline.ag, don't forget to use the promo code Locked On to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. It's BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert.
And now a word from one of our other great friends of the podcast, an OG sponsor, Built Bar. We absolutely love them here on the Locked On Senators podcast. And Ross, how about Built Bar's suggestion on their Twitter?
Yeah.
If you need something a little different, you want to try something out with these Built Bars, apparently people are putting them in the microwave for about 10 seconds. They gets nice, warm, and soft, and you eat it with a fork, which seems very weird to me. But you know what? That would actually be good with some ice cream. Mix that in with like a scoop of vanilla ice cream. You got a hot fudge sundae. But a hot fudge sundae that is great for the health conscious guy or girl, because it's a nutritional grand slam. When you're eating that hot fudge sundae, you can take comfort in knowing that the bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. With so many flavors to choose from, anything is going to taste good when you go to BuiltBar.com. And when you're at BuiltBar.com, they got a fun thing going on. It's the Built Bar Bracket of 2021. March Madness is here. You need to get your vote. And today, we got two flavors. It's Churro Puff, which I actually haven't tried. The Puff Built Bars, they seem really good. So go ahead and try that. Or it's going up against cookies and cream, though, Ross. I think that is the greatest Built Bar flavor ever. So
wagon.
There's no upset happening here. Like, I'm sure Churro Puff is great, but cookies and cream is the one. I'm voting that along. You guys should too. Go check out the championship bracket at BuiltBar.com today.
Our friends at Built Bar provide the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON20. New promo code alert, LOCKEDON20, and you'll get, yes, 20% off your first order. All right, Pilsy, you mentioned no upsets in the championship presented by Built Bar. You can follow them on Twitter at @bar_built. You can also follow us on Twitter at @SendCentral. We're going to get to a great poll question. Lots of awesome replies to that on our social media, on Instagram as well, LockedOn.Senators. Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts as well. We really appreciate the reviews. They go a lot further than you may believe. And hopefully the North Dakota Fighting Senators go a lot further than anyone could have imagined. Well, maybe not. They're the favorite. They're the first seed. But starting tonight, yes, Friday night, a single elimination NCHC tournament. Now, we're going to break it down. Brad Stoloshman, a must follow on Twitter with the Grand Forks Herald. He broke it down really well in his article. And it all starts with the coronavirus, not only because the style of tournament is differently. No longer will the quarterfinals be a best of three, but it's also affecting the amount of players that are going to participate in this tournament.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but I mean, guys, this is our life. So yeah, we know it. And yeah, this corona is really kind of taking hold of this tournament, and especially down in Colorado. Colorado College, 17 available players total. It's rumored that they only have one tendy as well. So that's going to be tough. Maybe we see Jake Brandt put on the pads for Colorado College as an emergency backup goalie.
Turn his back on Nodak like that.
Yeah, and Colorado College is a team that's struggling with it, and Denver also struggling. They have reportedly 16 skaters, but they have three goalies, so that's good. But man, 16 skaters, you're looking at like house league hockey lines, like basically three forward lines and two defense pairings. So that is going to be tough. They're probably, UND probably isn't too stoked about single game elimination because that could cause an upset. They'd be much more comfortable beating a team a couple times in a series. But teams like Colorado College and Denver, they got to be stoked that it's single game elimination. That's their only chance. Like if this thing got stretched out, they'd be screwed.
And Denver coming in as a team that could make it to the finals, you got to think. They start their first game in the quarterfinal is tomorrow against Johnny Gin and Tyconic. Johnny Tyconic's Omaha team is in the quarterfinals, of course, playing against Denver. You also have Luke Lohite, much forgotten, but never on this show. He's with Minnesota Duluth. They play Western Michigan on Saturday. But, of course, all eyes are going to be solely on the Nodak Sens. They begin against Miami. And we mentioned off the top, all these games are at the Ralph, which is the state-of-the-art facility at North Dakota. And in the last 28 games there, they've lost twice. How much of an advantage does that give North Dakota coming into this weekend?
Such a massive advantage, Ross. And I got a couple stats here that for people that are maybe sitting there being like, oh man, single game elimination, upsets can happen. Let me ease your mind a little here. So I'll take you through a couple numbers, guys. North Dakota is 19-7-4 all time against Miami. That's nice. Including winning both games against them this season, a 2-0 win and a 6-2 win. So domination for sure. And North Dakota is 10-1 at home in NCHC tournament games. Head coach Brad Berry is 6-0 in NCHC quarterfinal home games. So they know how to take care of business in the quarterfinals at home. And all those stats are courtesy of go check out their website. They got a lot of good little bullet point stats to get you stoked for this game at UND.
I'm glad you mentioned Coach Brad Berry. He just won yesterday the NCHC Coach of the Year for his second consecutive season. But don't let that overshadow the Bean, Shane Pinto, taking home the first ever unanimous Player of the Year in the NCHC. Just add that one to his list of accomplishments, a long list that could culminate in an NCHC championship, an NCAA championship, and of course, that prestigious Hobie Baker Award where he is a finalist nominee. But Pilsy, going back to tonight's game against Miami, just how crucial is the opening 10 minutes, the first goal of the game, seemingly could decide who moves on?
Yeah, I mean, it's a typical story in hockey, right? Like the first team that scores usually is going to win. If you go to betonline.ag and you look at the odds for a team scoring first to win the game, it's going to be heavily in the team that does score first favor. And that's apparent with even UND, a dominant team like them. It still is a factor. UND is 17-0 when scoring first, which isn't really that surprising, but the surprising stat is they're 1-5-1 when they allow the first goal. So if Miami gets off to a hot start, single elimination, that's a little bit scary, but I really am confident that UND is going to pull this out, but they do have some injury concerns, eh, Ross?
Yeah, Grant Mismatch, upper body. He's been out since February 12th, so they've been grinding away without him, although the last couple of games against Omaha, they were dressing their B squad, like Pinto sitting out.
They were
out.
Coasting away without him. I don't know about grinding.
Yeah, that's a fair statement. So we'll see if Reese Gaber can pick it up. If you're watching in the pod, he lit it up early. But he hasn't scored in 12 games, the freshman winger. So can't relate if you're following the Nodak Sens because all those boys are buzzing. They've got their list of accomplishments. And you got to wonder if Tyler Cleven and Jake Sanderson have a little burr in their bonnet because they didn't get named freshman of the year. It was VT Mietinen from St. Cloud State from the number 2 seed. I guess, you know, spread the wealth a little bit. You can't have every single award, but I'm just excited to watch those guys. 8:37, so right before the Sens game, I'm going to be rocking the double screen because you can't miss it when Alex Heinert and Midco Sports is on the call. We're going to catch up with Jake Brandt after this tournament and maybe Brad Sloshman right before the NCAA tournament, but it's going to be exciting hockey. It's single elimination. It's do or die. That is what it's all about. So really fired up for the NCHC tournament to get underway tonight. And as I'm driving back and forth between the Sens and the Nodak game tonight, I'm going to make sure I'm all good. And I do that with rockauto.com when I'm driving anywhere. Rockauto.com is a family business that serves auto parts to customers, and they've been doing it for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of different manufacturers. You pick whatever fits your needs the most. They have everything. Engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily drive, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique, and also it's remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, the prices. I just mentioned it. The prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Don't you hate when you see a professional driving around and you're like, wow, they probably got a sweet deal. Well, you get the same deal at rockauto.com. Why would you spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Don't do it. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. All we ask is that you write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box. That way they know that we sent you. Reliable selection, the lowest prices. It's rockauto.com. Okay, Pilsy, let's get to some segments. Let's start with the end of an NCAA season because we're talking about North Dakota. But how about Jakub Novák? His season's over. He had 7 goals, 10 assists in 15 games. Could we see him from Bentley sign pro and maybe end up in Belleville?
I mean, Belleville needs all the help they can get. So I'd be surprised if we didn't see that, to be honest. I think it's time for Novák to get a good shot here. And yeah, there's no better time for him to get an opportunity than now. Like, this Belleville roster is just depleted and desperate. I mean, even like, it sounds funny to say, but losing Clark Bishop is a big loss to this team. Like, they can't afford to lose anybody with pro experience because that is a young team that is struggling to score and, more importantly, struggling to keep the puck out of their own net.
Yeah, it's too bad for Jakub Novák, though, because Bentley had to withdraw of the AHA tournament. I wonder what the reason was. Maybe coronavirus, maybe something else, but his season is done. But as his season ends, another Sens prospect is back underway after a cup of coffee in the AHL. Ridley Gregg returns to Brandon, where he has been absolutely red hot since he went 3 games without a point that ended just before the new year. So he's riding an 8-game point streak going back to last year. He's got 11 points in those games. What should realistic expectations be for him in Brandon, where they're about to embark on only a 24-game season?
Yeah, I think expectations for Ridley Gregg in Brandon are that he's going to dominate. Like, you just rhymed off some of those stats. And it's funny that people don't really give him credit for having offensive upside when he's putting the points up. Like, he's got the numbers. I think a lot of people are just kind of alarmed that he was a first-round pick. I think most people thought he would go either really late first round, which he did, or early second. So anywhere in that window made sense. But some people thought maybe the Sens passed on some other guys, like Brisson was a big one for sure that they could have had. But I think Ridley Gregg, with his skill of offensively, and he likes to mix it up a little and get, he's a bit of a grinder too. I think he can dominate in the WHL, especially this season when some of the top WHL prospects, especially overagers, are playing in the AHL now. So there's a lot more opportunity and advantage for those like first round draft pick talents to really dominate this year, especially in a short time. Like if you can get a hot streak going, you're going to be hot for the whole season, 24 games. Like, that's wild.
Well, that's perfect because I mentioned how hot he was to end last season, and it was a 25-game stretch. So I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to rhyme off the stats, and I'm going to ask you whether you think he can do even better this year. So in his final 25 games last year, 15 goals, 18 assists, so 33 points in 25 games. He was a plus 14, 89 shots on goal, and 52 penalty minutes.
I think he'll be right around there. Like that
would be an impressive season.
Exactly. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that at all. Now, I'm just trying to go to their roster here for the Brandon Wheat Kings.
They've got Braden Schneider, first-round pick defenseman from the Rangers. He was named captain of Brandon, whereas Ridley Gregg, as we mentioned on last week's show, is going to wear an A.
Yeah, that was my first big question. Is Braden Schneider going to be back? So that's huge. Losing Cole Reinhardt, who's in Belleville, as we know, is actually kind of a big deal for this team because he was second in goals scored for that team. Luca Berzan was the leader with 35 goals, but Cole Reinhardt had 31 goals and 55 points. So that's a guy that they're going to miss on that team. Even though he's an overager, he still contributes offensively for the Wheat Kings.
Yeah, so we'll see. That game gets underway at 5 o'clock Eastern time. So it's going to be a day full of hockey. First Brandon, then Nodak, then the Ottawa Senators. And in this rebuilding year, we like to ask some fun questions of the past. And Sens fans are so passionate, and you got to think that the attachment comes from a certain group, a certain edition of the team. So we asked on both of our social medias, LockedOn.Senators on Instagram, at Sens Central on Twitter, which edition of the Ottawa Senators did you most fall in love with? Why? And it can be the personalities on the team. It could be the success that the team had. It could be just, you know, the memories that you have looking back. Maybe it was a time in your life where it just was so perfectly attached with how the Senators were doing. Lots of great answers. We put four options, 2003, 2007, 2015, and 2017. We're getting roasted from the older generation on Twitter, and rightfully so. It was hard to leave 1997 off. They'd gone from the worst team in the league to making the playoffs in game 82. That's special in itself with the group of guys who had struggled to get over the hump to make the playoffs for the first time in team history. Pilsy, I think I know what your answer was, but expand on why.
Yeah, I'm going with recency bias most for a lot of good reasons, but for the most reason, I have the memory of a goldfish, so anything past 2017 is kind of blurry for me, so I'm going to stick with that. And but also, like you said, sometimes it's the time of your life, and this was so much fun for us this run because we had just started the podcast in January of 2017. So
do you remember what our first episode was breaking down?
It's got to be something ridiculous.
It was Burrows trade? The no. Victor Stahlberg edition.
Ah, yeah. Victor Stahlberg, the heralded Ottawa Senator. He had a couple chances to make some big goals for the Sens in the playoffs, but he did not come through, unlike a lot of the other guys. Like, I think it was just such an important playoff run for me because we got to follow it. I don't want to say as members of the media because we were just a couple kids recording podcasts at our school, but like we were following it more seriously and analyzing the games and stuff like that. So that was a lot of fun for me. And just the storylines, like how about Grizz coming back and scoring some important goals? How about Bobby Ryan having the playoff run of his career? How about Erik Karlsson playing and leading this team to the Eastern Conference Finals Game 7 double overtime on one leg? Like, there's just so many good stories storylines that I loved. Andy coming. Yeah. Like
with
that
his
was
wife going through cancer treatment and being in remission for that. Remember the photo of her in the stands in Boston after one of those games? That was just fantastic.
Yeah. Like there's just so many memories. And I think a lot of people laugh, but what probably it might be my favorite playoff goal ever was the Dion Phaneuf goal against Boston.
I was thinking about that.
I know it's not a monumental game for them to win, but just that
kind of though. So, you can go down 2-0 at home against Boston.
Definitely. So, but it was a round one game, so maybe in the scheme of things, it's not that important. But just for him to score that goal, I was just so fired up. So 2017 is my answer for sure, because I really do think, and on the Wally and Mathot show, they had Bobby Ryan on recently, and he said the same, and other members of the Sens team have said the same. If they beat Pittsburgh, absolutely they're winning the Stanley Cup and beating that Nashville team. A Mike Fisher that came back from retirement halfway through that season was their number one centerman. The Senators would have cleaned the floor with those guys. Too bad that didn't happen, and we're in what, year four of the rebuild instead. Life in the hockey world is funny, but that's my answer for sure. I absolutely love that 2017 run.
Well, I think most people, and there's over 700 votes right now, 28 replies too. So lots of people having their say, some great photos of memories as well. But you're right, 2017 currently in the lead, but it's very close with 2007. Of course, when you have the most success that your franchise has ever had, that adds a little something to it. And I remember I was in grade 9 at Lisgar, in Ottawa right at that time of 2007 playoffs. So City Hall was the Sens mile, and that was right next door to my high school. So I thought that was really cool. But for me, like 2007, it was also the first year without Zdeno Chara, who was my favorite player growing up. So that's a little bittersweet, the start of the year. Of course, they had the most success. I think the 2006 team was just as fun. If the Olympics hadn't taken Dominic Hasek from them, that team was just a complete wagon. But as a goalie-friendly show, this is like the most memorable. You're never going to see a goalie come up from the AHL with an under 900 save percentage in a crisis situation following a double injury to Leonard and Clark MacArthur. The team is so far out of the playoffs that you're already seeing photoshops of Connor McDavid wearing a Sens jersey, and Andrew Hammond goes 21-2. To make the playoffs on the final game of the season. There was the most miraculous game. I was living in Halifax at the time, so it was really my attachment to the Senators. And not only am I watching Andrew Hammond, like the story wasn't written, right? So you're living this in real time. You're like, the other shoe, like the Cinderella tale has to end at some point here with Andrew Hammond. But it was win after win after win after win. It was unreal. The back-to-back shutouts in LA and Anaheim, that's like the trip of death. So for him to do that was just ridiculous.
Yeah, the only problem is the clock struck midnight when playoffs came with Andrew Hammond and the Cinderella story there, right?
Yeah, well, I'm still convinced that series should still be going on, the quick whistle against Pageau. But you're right, with Andrew Hammond, it did. I feel like that Subban shot over his shoulder was really kind of the end of the fairy tale. But Andy came in and put on a ridiculous performance as well, and they lost that game 6. Well, it was 2-0, but an empty netter. It was really a 1-0 score, and Carey Price was playing at the top of his game. But not only that Andrew Hammond storyline, and yes, that does take the cake, or the burger, should we say, but it was also that what we saw, Erik Karlsson won his second Norris Trophy that year, and Mark Stone's really entrance on the scene as an elite two-way player. And it was all culminated in that game 82 when they made the playoffs. Strip, steal, snipe, the Mark Stone story. Add Selly to the end of that, one of the most exuberant players in NHL history. So for him to really make his statement, I know he had a playoff point in 2012 where he feathered a pass to Spets in his first NHL game wearing number 60. Yuck. And then he had gone through two numbers by then, right? He was 16. Then Clark came, took it. He turned to 61. But that was his first coming out party at the NHL level. So the storylines of that, Kyle Turris was playing out of his mind. And you just had such a sense of playing at ease where there was no pressure whatsoever. And it was just so much fun to watch. So for that reason, I go with the Hamburglar run 2015. We're never, ever, 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 ever going to see another run like it. But there are some great additions. Like, how can you not talk about the 03 team and Hossa, Havlat, Alfie on the right side? Like, come on. The Sens, Like, say what you want about the last 4 years, but there's been some unreal memories that they've provided Sens fans.
Absolutely. And for, like, for any fans of Canadian teams to harp on the Sens, before this rebuild started, the Senators had made the playoffs the most in the last decade of any of the Canadian teams. Like, it was almost in the playoffs, out the playoffs, in the playoffs, out the playoffs. Like, they were making it at least every other year for like a decade, when the Leafs didn't even sniff the playoffs that decade. So that was a fun time to be a Sens fans, when we had that kind of one up on the Leafs fans and the rest of Canada, to be honest. So good times were had, but the future is coming up. Like, the seasons of unparalleled success are right around the corner, guys. We're getting back to that soon. Don't you worry.
Yeah, no doubt. But the reminiscing, always fun. But you know what? We got a game or two or three to break down, because you know we're going to check in on Ridly Gregg tomorrow. We're going to recap the North Dakota quarterfinals, hopefully a trip in the semi. So here's how it works. It's quarterfinals today and tomorrow. Then they're going to have a full day off on Sunday, right? You don't want to have one team playing at 8 p.m. on Saturday and then have to turn around Sunday, whereas the other team has a day of rest. So full day off on Sunday, God's Day, just like this show, taking Sundays off. Semifinals on Monday, and the finals are on Tuesday. But we've got a Sens game to break down as well. Senators in Edmonton looking for their first win in 7 tries against the Edmonton Oilers. And maybe they should work on covering Draisaitl and McDavid. Just my 2 cents. But we'll get a full breakdown on tomorrow's show. For Brandon Piller, I'm Ross Levitan. This has been the Locked On Senators podcast. Your team every day.